that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this March 3rd, 2018. What a beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch. It would be more beautiful with some snow on the ground. It's a little dry here, but the sun is up over the mountains, blue skies, and it is just a beautiful morning here. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we'll say good morning to Tim. He's working on his phone, but he's here with us this morning, and he'll be back on when he gets his phone, when he gets his headset and everything set. But and we say good morning to you, the remnant, and we thank you for joining us. Lots going on in the world today. I think it just shows how we are closer to the last days when you look at the headlines and the things that are happening and the things that aren't. We'll have the phone lines open a little bit later this morning if you want to call in, but we'll, as always, do our best to start out with a word of prayer, and Brother John, we'll go to you for that, sir.
Okay. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, we know that things happen in our lives and in the world that we don't understand. But Lord, we also know that what you do is right, and that someday we will understand all of these things. And Father, through it all, we proclaim that we love you and we serve you, and our desire is to be in your kingdom, Lord. Our desire is to be in that first resurrection as the followers of Jesus Christ, and not just those that hide behind the name Christian. Father, our desire is not to be least in the kingdom, but to be in that 144,000 or the 70,000 that won't bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaims no king but King Jesus. So, Father, we ask that you would continue to give us more Holy Spirit, Lord. Without the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's not possible. And, Father, we pray for wisdom, just as your word says, that we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. Particularly, Lord, as the patriarchs of our households, we ask for wisdom, Lord. Guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding and discernment, Lord, as we, all of these things come at us, Lord, from every different direction. Father, help us to stand on the truth, no matter what. Father, we thank you for our pastor that you gave us for 33 plus years, Lord, that had eyes to see and ears to hear and was a mouthpiece for you, Lord, that was possibly the last prophet. And Lord, we know that we don't hold a candle to what he does, but we continue to say, here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? And Father, we know that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And there are some out there, Lord, in this remnant that desire to serve you, that desire that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, we ask for help. We ask that you would send that great comforter, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us in times of need. That you would send ministering angels to ahead of those that you bring into our path, Lord, that we could reach them with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, Father, once they understand the salvation plan, Lord, that they would repent, that they would fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness. And then, Lord, they would go into that watery grave of baptism, where they would be clothed with Christ. They would die to their old lives, be born again of the water and the Spirit, and that they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that provides the insight that you need to be able to understand the Holy Word of God. And, Father, that their name would also be entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. So, Father, guide and direct us this morning. Give us that insight, Lord, into what it is that we need to talk about that's beneficial to your people, the remnant. Father, put it upon your people's hearts to call in and maybe bring up something that the Lord's brought to their mind. But Lord, we pray for protection for ourselves and our families. Lord, we plead the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over our families and over all that you've blessed us with.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Father, we continue to call upon your angels to bind the demonic spirits and the forces of hell, that spells and witchcraft that may be sent against your people. Father, let them continue to fall in the traps, in the pits that they dig, and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. And first and foremost, Lord, we ask that the things in the dark would be brought to the light, and that they would be shouted from the rooftops, just as we are witnessing, Lord. Put the fear of God back in not only your people, Lord, but in the enemy. That there are consequences for everything that we do, good and bad. We just praise you and we love you, and we give you all the praise and glory for all that's going on in this country right now. And we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Hey, we got you there, Tim.
Yep, I'm still on the phone, so I'll be in and out. It may take me a second to unmute.
Okay.
We'll make it work.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord and make it work. That's right. You know, John, you prayed for, as you prayed for wisdom, and today is March 3rd. We started, if you're following the Bible reading plan, you'll finish the book of Ephesians today, just over the last 3 days. It's a small book, but It's good to read that over the a few days to just let it soak in. And Wednesday's reading, of course, Ephesians 1 and 2 has that prayer in there that Paul prays as well, that thanking the God, it says, starting in verse 17, thanking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And then it goes on, and he says here, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And it goes on, it's like all these letters here in the New Testament, they are a good read, but that is what we are to pray for. We are to pray for wisdom for each other, for ourselves, for one another, for understanding, for that knowledge of him. And and like you said as well, that comes after baptism. I think of back in Acts of Saul. He had his Damascus Road experience, his conversion experience, but he still had to get baptized, and he did, to be able to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to be able to have the understanding, and as it says here, the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that comes with, as the word says in Acts 2:38, to be baptized for the remission of sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is that gift of the Holy Spirit that directs and gives wisdom and revelation. Was listening this week to yesterday morning to the broadcast, and pastor talking about baptism, that it is as clear as the nose on our faces all throughout the New Testament. But when you come across those people that want to argue it, that don't see it, and he said, quite frankly, some people just aren't going to see it because they don't want to.
Yeah,
I thought that was interesting hearing that from our pastor as well, knowing that he pushed and promoted the baptism because of its importance, because it gives the wisdom and the understanding, like you prayed in your prayer, and like we see here in the first of Ephesians. It is there.
Yeah, I want to add some more to that. Those prayers this morning, Lord, put some other things on my heart.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, we do lift up those and Northeast, Lord, that are experiencing these torrential rain and heavy snowfall with hurricane winds, Lord. We just pray for your protection to be upon them, Lord. Put your guardian angels around them and warring angels if necessary, Lord, to battle the demonic forces of hell. But we just plead the blood of Jesus over your people, Lord, for protection. And Father, there's a genocide planned in South Africa. And Lord, these are your people. These are the white, Christian, Anglo-Saxon people that are being targeted for destruction. And Father, right now, there is nothing but a miracle and your protection that can save these people from losing everything that they've worked their whole lives for, Lord, generational farms. Father, we know that land was some of the most fertile, blessed land in the world. And Lord, that it's the white farmer that produces and that feeds those people. But Lord, they've targeted these white families, and they've basically told them to get out or we're going to kill you. So Lord, we call right now for guardian angels to come down and to protect your people, Lord. Give them supernatural strength and energy and vigor and vitality, Lord, not to walk away. And send your warring angels as well, Lord, with swords drawn. And Father, let there be a great miracle there. Let 1,000 fall at their left and 10,000 at their right. And let them fear that they shall not harm one of your anointed. And Father, renew the faith in those people in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let the Holy Spirit work in a mighty way in South Africa, Father. Bring the truth of the gospel, Lord, that they are true Israel. Bring that to them, Lord, and let them fight for what it is that you've blessed them with, Lord. Bring confusion into the camp of the enemy. Father, cause there to be a mighty plague amongst them, however you see fit, Lord. But your word is clear, that those who would not have you rule over them, bring them before the court and slay them, Lord. And that's our prayer and our petition for those people, Lord, is for protection and destruction of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, the weather changes that we're seeing as well. We're seeing that heavy rains, wind, one part of the country, snow. Pretty much a lot out here in the west is borderline drought conditions. Here we are finishing up winter, just stepping into spring, praying for a wet spring out here. Changes in the weather, things that extended drought and the large diversity of the weather. You know, a lot of times you have these weather systems roll in across the west and through here and then to the Midwest and then onto the east, and just doesn't seem like we've seen that here this past year. Very dry out here, and looking at the forecast, you know, warmer spring and summer, and lower humidity, lower precipitation is what the forecast calls for.
Yeah, I was reading an article early this morning about, the water disappears in Pamlico and the Neuse rivers in North Carolina. Basically, they've just had strong winds, dry winds, like the Chinook winds or whatever they call it, that are just completely drying up these rivers and these waterways.
Wow.
And it's not the only place that it's happening.
Yeah, we have to remember the California, you know, over December had the biggest fire in that they've had, the Thomas Fire. And that was fueled by the big Santa Ana winds, and that's just been a couple of months ago. And, you know, here we are finishing up winter, going in. The water is not there. The snowpack in the mountains out here is basically at minimal levels. You don't see a whole lot of, not that the people can do anything about it, if they won't pray. You know, we certainly read that when God's people will pray, like in James 5, that Elijah prayed, and it says he had a nature like us, like ours. And he prayed and it didn't rain, then he prayed again and it did. We are praying. We would like to see our people praying as well.
I think that one of the things that, you know, the Lord kind of brought to mind was, is it's really, we're kind of living in a choose you this day whom you will serve scenario.
Yes.
Because all of these earth changes are going on, and I don't really think that I know it's not, according to the Bible, none of the things that go on around about us are about the workers of iniquity. Their judgment is sealed and confirmed. It's about God calling his people that are called by his name to him. And it's like, who are you going to call? You know, I mean, to coin a phrase, but are you going to call up FEMA and the government and everything else for help? Or are you going to, you know, get on your knees and call God, you know? And I think we see that more and more. I mean, it's all around us. And it's a choose kind of scenario, I think.
Amen.
You know, I find it interesting this week that you know, the message that we had last week, based largely upon some research that Brother David in Texas did and sent in, that's a big part of the newsletter this month. But just this week, there was two major things, in my opinion, that happened that kind of back up what we were showing regarding the cycles in the world and how we're set for the next major total war. One is Russia comes out and boldly proclaims that they have new nuclear weapons that are immune to interception, supersonic missiles, and that are as far that none there's not a missile defense system that can supposedly shoot it down. Well, we don't know that for sure, but what we do know is that when we had the Obamanation in office, who was set to destroy our military capability, Russia was busy building theirs, and so were many other countries. But I think that's significant. And then the other thing that's significant, in my opinion, is the fact that President Trump just declared a 25% tariff on steel and 10% on aluminum that's coming in from other countries, because I don't know if it's God leading them or whatever, but the bottom line is, if you can't produce steel in your own country, then you can't fight a war. And I think he realizes that, because if it's a world war, then we're dependent upon all these other nations for our steel, because our steel industry in this country has been totally decimated by design, then you can't fight a war. And I believe those are two significant things that lend credence to the message last week.
I agree with that. Boy, when you saw that, the it almost turned the what they call it, the Dow and the world economy, that made everybody sit up and pay attention when that happened this past week. Saw a couple of headlines that came through, didn't read right in, get into all the details, but that sure is quite a bit. Do you think that it's a push for more domestic production, for more companies here to get back into producing steel here in the country?
Absolutely. But see, that, you know, everybody hoards themselves for money, so what they look at is, oh, well, the stock market took a 5% cut, you know, GM lost money, this and that. Well, it's not really going to matter if our stock market is worth, you know, it's all fake anyways, but if people have all of this fake value and we can't defend ourselves as a country, none of that really matters. I mean, what's significant is if you watch the video that Putin presented to his higher-ups, basically, because he's coming up as renewal for president as well, I guess, in Russia. But if you look closely at that video, it showed that supersonic missile, and it would the cap would release, and then it would just shower bombs down, and it was on Florida. If you looked at the demographics of the area where the carpet bombing was taking place, so
right.
I mean, this is, you know, it's a significant saber rattling. Excuse me, if you ask me, but
sure it is. Well, you know, that's the war in Syria that's going on right now. Is really, it's a war between the U.S. backed forces fighting the Russian backed forces. There was a note here, just saw a blurb on the regarding that just a week or two ago, how they were talking about how a U.S. drone, I guess, had taken out maybe a Soviet tank, a Russian tank. And you know, because we are fighting the Russians in Syria, that's really, you know, the little nation of Syria and who is it over there, Assad? You know, they by themselves would not be able to maintain the type of war that they're fighting right now. And it goes back and forth between the I think Assad's family is ruling now and the Free Syrian Army, but it's really it's U.S. backed versus Russia backed, I think that's why it falls in those cycles like you brought Sunday, John, like a brother sent in the details on that. It sure puts it in perspective. It's not just saber rattling, I don't think. I think it's a continuation. You know, the Russians had a jet shot down in Syria here, a fighter jet, just a couple weeks ago, and there was a story there about the pilot. He survived. He parachuted out, but as they were getting him, he went down fighting, and fought rather than be captured. It's all out. It's war that is going on there that many here in this country don't realize, and just how deep the United States is still in the war in the Middle East that we started back in what, late 2001, after the 9/11, the 9/11, and here it is 2018, and we are still at war 17 years straight in the Middle East.
Yeah. Well, and it goes, it really goes clear back to the Belfast Declaration back there, as far as that goes. I mean, that Middle East upheaval has been with us since before the turn of the last century. I mean, basically, if you do some historical study, there's been a battle on for the sandbox over there for a very long time. I mean, it simmers down, but it's still cooking, and the heat gets turned back up. And the other thing is we definitely need to have our own means of production here, and we definitely
yes.
need to be a self-sufficient country. The globally, the Bible clearly states that too. It says that they will come and the rest of the world, the Israel of God, the way Galatians, I think it's Galatians 6, says that, and it is the Israel of God. There's more than one Israel in the world. The Bible, talks about that name, but there is the Israel of God, and the Israel of God is supposed to be that shining light that's set upon the hill, self-sufficient situation, and the one worlders, they want that one world economy, and we've got a lot of factions that are aligned against God, whether it's military industrial complex or whether it's the people in the Middle East that are playing their situation. What I call the true believers that are lemmings, they'd rather be dead than have anything to do with God, and if they can take you with them, they're happy too. I mean, we see all of those people aligned against God, and they're creating chaos all over the place. That it's wonderful that we have a shepherd, because I'll tell you what, we need one to guide us through all the fences and the nets that they set up. I mean, it's an amazing quagmire of deceit, deception, and war, rumors of wars. We see all that around us all the time, and it's just like, oh Lord, protect your people.
Yeah, but when you see this stuff going on, and then you also see that the steel tariff is really, really outraging China, and then you start reading in Ezekiel 38 about Gog and Magog, and then just this week in our Bible study, we finished up Revelation, kind of a quick study of Revelation, and we're heading into Ezekiel. But when you read in Revelation 20, verse 8, actually you can start in 7, when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Well, I mean, we know Jerusalem differently than most of the world, J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. But then it says, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So you start to see Russia and the activities in China, you start to at least wonder if, you know, we're starting to witness some of this Gog and Magog prophecy.
Amen.
Yeah, and domestically, we could get back to producing steel. We could get back to mining ore. We could, you know, the previous administration shut down all the coal mining on federal property, on federal ground, out here in the West, not just in Wyoming, but in other Western states. And so, I've spoke with people that have driven up north, up where the coal mines are, where they store train engines. And one good thing, I got a report this week, talked to a friend, and he said, you know, last year when he was up there, they just had miles of train engines just pretty much mothballed, just sitting there waiting. And he was up there about a month ago, and they were all gone. And that was a good sign that they're out starting to move coal again. Some of the EPA regulations our current administration has backed off on, to where they can start, you know, producing some of the coal again. I know the state legislatures out here out west are working on, you know, they're looking at legislation and regulations on to fire the drilling back up, for oil drilling to come back up, domestically. And, you know, this land of milk and honey, this, as you said, John, this new J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, this new Jerusalem, that has the letters of our country right there in the middle of it, hint, it has basically all that we need. We have the coal, we have the oil, we have the natural gas, we have the natural resources that we don't have to rely on China. Now, you know, when China produces steel with slave labor, as they produce most of their products with slave labor, then certainly it might be cheaper. But that's a different, you know, that's a different story. And but it does come into play when you have that greed factor come in. And that love of money, that greed, that has been the downfall of many. Whether it's individuals or the individuals that run these large corporations. But we have everything we need here. And I kind of saw that with that tariff, to, you know, by the current administration on the steel and whatnot, was to kind of level the playing field a little bit, but also to hopefully to motivate more domestic production of that, as well as other things.
Too. Typically, yes. Those jobs are jobs that you can support a family on. They're not minimum wage jobs. Those are careers, and, you know, there's a certain amount of skill involved in a lot of that too, I think. And, you know, that's what made this country great. Obviously, it was blessed by the Lord because people feared God. But we were, you know, an industrial superpower at the time. And
yes,
we can be again, and we need to be, especially when it comes to things that are necessary for fighting a war, for sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well,
and the thing about tariffs, it's always been, is, you know, the rest of the world, I mean, this, if nothing else, I think this thing in South Africa proves it. You can't lift everyone up to your standard of living, because apparently they don't want to get there. They don't want to go there. They'd rather just take what you've built.
They don't want to work for it, that's for sure.
That's what I mean. They'd rather take what you've built
and, you know, just use it up until it's gone, and they'll find somebody else to rob or pillage or whatever. But
yeah, Haiti is the perfect example of that.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, and the tariffs, this deal with South Africa is not new. If you want to see how this is going to come out, go back and look at Zimbabwe. I think it used to be Rhodesia. But,
Rhodesia,
you know, Mugabe,
yes,
did the same. Yeah, Mugabe did the same thing over there. But the point is if the tariffs are raised, when we put tariffs in place, that protects our standard of living, because you only have two options with international trade. If you can't compete with the slave labor of China or the, you know, all of those kind of things where they all live in, you know, a dormitory and make 50 cents a day and don't wear shoes or, you know, have anything that is a standard of living to look forward to, the only way you can compete with that is to raise the price of those goods or services to the point of your standard of living so that it becomes preferable to buy it here, and that stimulates your economy, and it also brings in revenue into your country. You know, I mean, you know, when you see those sort of things go on, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, and it will stimulate our economy. It will protect our economy, and it shelters new creation of jobs and businesses, just like,
yes,
you said, John. It gives you that ability to do that in a protected environment that is stable. So it's not a bad thing. I agree.
Amen. Amen. We see that on the food side as well. You know, more and more food is being imported into this country. Beef, for example, nationwide, the country of origin labeling was defeated, turned down. You tell me the sanity in that, that when people go to buy meat in the supermarket, that it should be labeled as to where that, you know, what country, if that's American beef, if it's Argentine
Brazilian
beef, if it's Brazilian beef, if it's Japanese, if it's China, whatever. Nope, that got voted down. Colorado proposed to do it statewide, and that failed in committee. That didn't go in, and now Wyoming has it before their legislature right now. The state legislature does, and so you know, we're seeing that what the feds won't do, the states are attempting in this, along the lines of tariffs and at least labeling, so people know where this comes from. Guys, we've got a phone call. Let's go to the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. This is Jim.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, I'd like to make a comment about the economical question this morning.
Sure.
What I've learned was there's really only three ways to create wealth in a nation, and that is by farming, mining, and manufacturing. And I find it really interesting how those three areas, the enemies in our gate have been trying to destroy in this country for the last, I don't know, 80 years or so. So I think that was very interesting how they're trying to attack that and how Trump's trying to bring that back now. And you see the fight now going on. Just amazing.
Yeah,
so that's all I have to say.
Significant point. Absolutely. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, thanks. You guys have a good day.
All right, Jim. God bless.
All right. God bless. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be the first to admit I was extremely disappointed in the stance that President Trump took regarding gun control. I mean, if you can't see that Las Vegas was designed just for this reason, but I think the enemy's figured out now that adults don't have the same draw on the heartstrings as children, and that's why these school shootings are happening more and more, because they tug on the heartstrings of the people who are not informed a lot more than, you know, just a bunch of concert goers that were teenagers and above. And it's, if you can't see what's going on, in fact, the thing I really noticed was arming the teachers was getting some momentum. And Texas, I read a story the other day that Texas has just armed their 300th school district.
Ohio has
teachers
areas.
Teachers are training them.
Yep. Ohio has areas that they do as well.
Kentucky, but what they don't want to talk about is the fact that not 99% of all of the shootings, not just the school shootings, but all of the shootings have occurred in no-gun zones.
Right.
Absolutely.
And the psychotropic drugs that are involved. That's the other common,
right.
very common denominator. Saw the headlines today, had a shooting. A youth, 19 years old, black family, had been in the hospital. I think upper middle class black family had been in the hospital and got home, but he'd been on drugs in the hospital, got home, and what's the first thing he does? Kills both his parents. Now, I don't know how he did, if he shot him or if he used an axe or a knife or whatever, but the point is, it's these drugs that they are putting on. We've presented that, you know, to the remnant. A million children in this country under the age of 6 that are on these drugs, and it's not just something for allergies. These are mind altering, psychotic,
psychotropic.
Psychotropic.
One in six,
that's the
children.
Word. Yes.
1 in 6 children are on a psychotropic drug, all the way down to the age of 1, is the article that I read, which means that if a baby is fussy or crying or something like that, you got doctors now that'll prescribe psychotropic drugs for these infants.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to look at that, but the thing I was going to was, so that was gaining momentum to arm, you know, it made sense to arm a certain percentage of teachers who maybe, you know, there's a lot of people who are ex-military, ex-police, things like that, that have those kind of attributes. But what happens? The next day in Georgia, there's a teacher who barricades himself in the room and fires a shot through the door at the principal. Oh, really? You know?
Yeah.
But the dumb sheep are like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. If we arm the people... You know, if we arm the teachers and the administrations, then it'll just compound the problem. They'll just shoot up the kids, you know? And it's like, yeah. Bah.
Exactly. Right. The truth of the matter is there's evil out there, and it's out there no matter what you do. I mean, you know, then you can, God says to be armed, and I mean, that's one of those things that he commanded to do, and there's a reason for that. You know, I mean, when you look at that, like you, there is no silver bullet,
right?
Pun intended. That cures all those problems. I mean, you just life is an uncertain thing, and at any time and in any place. And yet, there's studies out showing you can't convince the people who are totally, whatever word you want to use, anti-gun, liberal, left-leaning people, that guns or being armed is the answer. And I agree with what you said, John. 98% of all of them take place in gun-free zones. Wonder why that is, you know? They don't have to worry about anybody shooting back at them. But the fact of the matter is they're lemmings. I mean, they just want to run off the cliff, and they're more than happy. You can show, you can line up all of the documentation you'd like, showing them that, you know, if you take everybody's guns away, South Africa happens, Zimbabwe happens. All these people are on these drugs. There's an article on the Newswire about the drugs that we're talking about as far as hypnotic and everything else. And they won't see it, you know, and I think that's why our Bible says, in all you're getting, get wisdom, you know. Open your eyes and see those things. And those of us that see that, it's almost burdensome to be able to see the truth, but praise God you can. I mean, but when you're trying to convince, a loved one or a family member, you know, or something like that, that they just can't see that, it's so disheartening sometimes, but you know, we still have to try, and that's our job, is to cry out and to make those things known and to work toward the godly kingdom. So you know.
The good news is I've talked to several police officers, local, state, and sheriffs, a lot of deputies and sheriffs and stuff, and they basically, they'll tell you point blank, if they receive the order to confiscate weapons, one, they understand that it's a suicide mission, and two, they'll hang up their badges and they won't fulfill those orders. So without, but then you look at Chicago here just a month or so ago, where they were boldly proclaiming that they need to bring in the UN soldiers to help them get a handle on what's going on in the cities with the gang violence. So, I mean, you know, Pastor Peter's told us many times, and when you say that, people, you can see that they double take and they think for a minute. The enemy plays chess and we play checkers, and they've been playing chess for a long time. Without God's grace and mercy, without, you know, that remnant that continues to pray, the country would be lost a long time ago.
Amen. I think it leaves them astounded that we continue on. Despite all their attacks on all fronts, you know, the drug fronts, the financial fronts, the military fronts, the job front, the agricultural front, it's like, how do they keep going? And the answer isn't about us, it's about our God. You know, he advances. It's just one of those things. And, you know, glory be to God. I mean, that's the praise issue. I mean, if you think they're amazed, I think a lot of times when I look around us and I see the things that are going on, and sometimes as a Christian, you tend to go, well, you know, we should have more power. We should have more of this or that, but we don't really know in the spiritual realm about the battles being fought, you know, all around us that are raging on. Amen. I mean, we can't see those things, so we can't appreciate what's being done on our behalf by all those things. But I suspect and believe that there's enormous battles raging all around us.
Right.
And I think a lot of the things that we see as physical manifestations of those are a result of that. You know, I mean, I think that it's going on. So,
by God's grace and His mercy, at least to a certain group of people, we were given these spiritual weapons, and the timing was perfect. You know, we learned about these spiritual weapons before we really went into the battle, because one thing for sure, not a move towards God goes unnoticed by Satan. And if you war against him, he'll war against you.
Amen.
And a lot of these people who aren't in our movement, like these men I meet with in this Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, they're learning the hard way. And because they've taken seriously their walk, they hunger and they thirst for the truth. And the stuff that we take for granted, these guys are eating it up, and they're becoming addicted to truth, just like, you know, we were. But they haven't taken seriously the spiritual warfare part of this thing, and they're being attacked in their marriages, they're being attacked in their families, they're being attacked in their work, they're being attacked in their health. And all of these things are because they haven't taken seriously the spiritual warfare. They haven't prayed, you know, they haven't put on the full armor of God. They haven't, taken seriously the anointing oil, and they haven't taken seriously the canceling of satanic assignments and forbidding the enemy from operating in their lives. And for the most important thing is pleading the precious, holy, cleansing, protective blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over themselves, their wives, and their children, and name them by name, and do it every morning.
Amen.
And do it on your knees. Because when you battle, I mean, and I've had to learn the lesson the hard way, too. I got to admit, some of the things, you know, 15, 20 years ago that Dad was teaching, I didn't take them seriously. You know, I didn't. Thank God, He's a patient God, and He grants us grace and mercy, and He's,
time,
you know,
to grow.
Given us time to remove, you know. But the thing I don't think we understand sometimes is when we pray these things, if we believe them, they're real. I mean, when we say, Lord, give us wisdom and understanding,
amen,
you know, and discernment, so that these are all things, and he's granted us all of this that we may not see it, but if you look and you start to examine your life, you'll start to see that God is answering our prayers like never before, as far as I'm concerned.
Amen.
I agree. I think you're absolutely right.
But that has...
His people who are called by his name humbled themselves and prayed and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And he said, when we do that, then what does he say?
Then
I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, that's a promise. If it's in the Bible and God said it, then it's a promise, and we can hold him to that promise as long as we fulfill our part of the bargain.
Yes. Amen. Yes. And that, you know, our part, that's the thing, is God doesn't pour this all out. It's a bargain. It's a, you take a step forward, and I'll take a step forward. And he has given us the power and authority. Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. That too is a promise. That has been done. That has been done. And so we can claim that. We can pray that, as you said, John, over ourselves, over our children. And we should be doing that. But that comes with reading his word, taking time. I asked the question Thursday night. I said, you know, Remnant, do we give God in his word, in reading his word and doing his work, do we give that as much time and attention as we do the pleasures that we do? You know, whether it's not golf season, but whether it's golf or football or, you know, watching some TV program or you know, just the mindless pursuits that so many of our people do. Not that there's anything wrong with watching football or golfing or four wheeling or whatever it is, but when, you know, when those pursuits of pleasure, when we give them more time, effort, and energy than we do in his word, praying, doing his work, you know, sharing one another's burdens, doing that type thing, well, we're still in a spiritual battle, but it's like going into it without any armor, without any weaponry, and without even realizing that you're in the war, but yet you're still in the war, but not using what God gives us in his word to help us fight that war.
I'm looking at a picture here of, unfortunately, of President Trump when he met with the Democrats, and there's a picture of him with Dianne Feinstein, and when he talked about banning the semi-automatic firearms and confiscating them from mentally deranged individuals, you can see the demonic glee in her face. I mean, it's just like when President Bush Sr. said in, 91, 10 years to the day from 9/11, that, you know, we first mentioned the New World Order, and you could, if you watch that video, you can just see the evil. It's the same thing.
Yeah, you see it in George Soros, if you ever see his picture, that old devil.
Yeah.
You see that same, it's coming out. They it's like they can't hide it anymore, they don't want to hide it or something, but it's like the drugs and the shooters, it's a common denominator of these world leaders, and they are it. They have a demon. It's a demonic. It that's what it is.
Well, they come to what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
And destroy.
Yeah.
The thing that most people don't want to talk about with what's going on in Florida is that there was a program initiated by the Obamanation administration, possibly even when Eric Holder was as the AG. But anyways, there was so many minorities with police reports being filed in the school system down in southern Florida, and I don't know if it's nationwide or whatever, and it hasn't been exposed yet, but we keep praying that the things in the dark would be brought to the light. But what has been exposed is that Broward County down there, they had so many minorities that had police records and were being brought up on charges that they offered the school district additional funds if they would keep those things that were going on internal and not bring in law enforcement. And this has been proven, but they couldn't just say for the minorities, so it was kind of a blanket statement, although it's the minorities who are committing the majority of the acts of violence. And nobody wants to talk about that was an abomination program, which is why they visited this guy's home, 40 times. I mean, let's face it, it was law enforcement that failed regarding this particular, probably almost all of these incidences that they're tipped off, but it's not part of the agenda and the plan.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like 9/11. We have planes hijacked, but no planes are, nothing defensive is scrambled whatsoever. It's known about it. They know they're flying around these populated areas, but let's not put any protective measures in the air. Nope, not at all. So, well, guys, we're about out of time. We want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can come join us at church on Sunday morning, starting at 8:30. Mountain. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and we encourage you to come. We'll have a little review of the news. We'll have, the timeless truths that we've had recently coming out, from the previously recorded, sometimes 30 years ago, these messages. They are prophetic. We see them again, but we see them in our land today. They were prophesied then. It was a warning that was given. These messages we've seen these last few months, they were warnings given that if you don't change your ways, America, this is what's going to happen. And we have, as a nation, we haven't, and here we are. We are seeing these things in our streets and in our schools. We'll have that. John, looking forward to your message tomorrow. We'll have communion, some music. And so, folks, you can go to the Internet. You can go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org. You can not forsake the assembly. Pastor foresaw this years and years ago and was probably one of the very first live streaming churches. So again, we invite you. Join us tomorrow for church. And men, again, thanks. And have a blessed weekend.
Thank you.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay, the price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old
wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. That will even up the score, don't be weak. As they slow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.